Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I thought about this story, the story that Liz just read for us, in which Bartimaeus gets his sight restored by Jesus, I thought about something curious. I have to set it up a little bit for you. This curious thought starts with the way that we Christians believe in Jesus. Our Christian faith is based upon this remarkable idea, this idea that a particular person, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived, taught, and healed people for 33 short years before he was executed by the Roman Empire, that this particular man was, in some mysterious and wonderful way, both human and God. Somehow Jesus is both human and divine at the same time. Now, it never occurred to me before, but as I was driving in my car thinking about Bartimaeus, I realized that people like this Bartimaeus, who happened to be living during the time, during that same 33 years that Jesus lived, had something incredible, something amazing that the rest of us, you and I, who lived either after or before Jesus, we just don't have this. And that thing is that if Jesus is both human and divine, then Bartimaeus and all of the disciples, and indeed all the multitudes of people described in the New Testament, they didn't have to pray to God. They could have a conversation with God in exactly the same way that you and I are having conversations with each other. For those 33 years when God was incarnate as Jesus, the divine was not, as it sometimes seems to us, this distant idea shrouded in mystery. During Christ's life, humans could actually have a conversation with God. How fortunate for them. In Jesus, God was enough of a human being to be able to actually engage in conversation. Imagine being able to have a conversation with God. Let's give this some thought. There is a logic to the way that a conversation between two people works. In a conversation, one person says something and the other person responds. Sometimes it's more messy than that, but basically there is this exchange of ideas that moves back and forth. If a question is asked, an answer can be given promptly and quite clearly. Sometimes this interaction is pleasant, and unfortunately, sometimes it's not pleasant. If there happens to be a difference between the people who are in conversation, whether that difference be age or power or social status, this difference is navigated through the use of social norms that involve speech and body language. Now, prayer, on the other hand, it's weirdly the same and also very different from this. Often when we pray, we use language to express ourselves to God, just in the same way that we do when we are talking to each other. There are norms and kinds of speech and body language that we use to show our respect when we pray to God. In these ways, prayer is similar to conversation. But one of the crucial differences between praying and conversing is that when we pray, the other person who is involved in the act of communication is actually not another person. When we pray, we express our hopes and desires to a mystery, to the eternal, to the unknown. And since the one that we are praying to is not a person, praying is not a back and forth exchange of ideas in quite the same way that a conversation is. If we want the answer to a question that we ask in prayer, we do not really expect to hear a voice from heaven answering us. We typically do not get immediate answers from God, as we might if we were having a conversation with Jesus. Instead, we attend carefully to the world around us to see if God somehow answers through the things that happen to us in our daily lives. It's not a terribly efficient way to communicate, is it? It's rather quaint, kind of old-timey. It's not at all like the wireless technology that we're getting, that are getting faster and faster all the time today. So here's an interesting question that leaps out from all of this speculation about conversation and prayer. Since we can't speak to God as we might talk to another person, we have developed the whole tradition around prayer. But what if we could? What if we did have a chance, like Bartimaeus, to actually have a conversation with God? How would we talk to God? As we mull over this question, I realize that there is another important thing that we need to consider. There is another crucially important way that prayer is different from other kinds of communication. When I talk to another person, I know that no matter how wise and wonderful that person may be, they are just another human being. They may know an awful lot about many, many things, but they don't know everything. God, on the other hand, is omniscient, all-knowing. God knows how the rings of Saturn were formed. God knows if the 7:15 to Scarsdale will be on time. God knows how bumblebees fly and how blue whales dive. But as amazing as all of that is, that's all kind of neither here nor there, because the really significant thing is that God knows you. God knows what's in your heart. So, knowing this, how would we proceed if, like Bartimaeus, we got the chance to have a conversation with God? No pressure. At this juncture, we can look to the Bible. I think it would be profitable for us to take a look at what Bartimaeus did and see if we can learn from it. For those of us who listen attentively to the stories that are told about Jesus, the story of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sounds somewhat familiar to us. Stories like this have defined Jesus for us. We know that Jesus is a healer. This is a healing story. And we know that Jesus performs miracles. This is a miracle story. This story neatly brings together healing and miracle in the person of Jesus. Bartimaeus knows these things about Jesus. Even though he has an impressive sounding name, the text tells us that as far as that society was concerned, Bartimaeus is, as my father would say, small potatoes. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar who sits in the dust at the roadside. When he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing, he starts up an unholy row, shouting at the top of his lungs to try to get Christ's attention. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he says. A blind beggar, covered with dust, yelling at Jesus. This feels intolerable. Everyone, including the disciples, are annoyed. They tell him to shut up. "Shut up, Bartimaeus." But instead of playing nicey-nice and politely fading into the background, as a beggar should do, Bartimaeus ignores all social convention and cries out again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So this is quite interesting. You would think that if you had a chance to talk directly to God, your first instinct would at least be to be polite. But Bartimaeus is actually rather rude. He is loud and insistent. He will not take no for an answer. But is Jesus offended? Does God among us tell Bartimaeus to just keep it down? No. Jesus responds as we all hope that God would respond to us. Jesus stands still. I love that. Jesus stands still and recognizes Bartimaeus. God recognizes him. Jesus stood still, the text says, and said, "Call him here." This feels profound to me. Jesus stood still. Isn't it wonderful to know that if you call out to God, God will stand still? The rest of the story proceeds as we are accustomed to stories going. These stories about Jesus. Jesus asks Bartimaeus, What do you want? What can I do for you?" And the beggar asks to be given sight. Jesus compliments Bartimaeus for his faith, saying, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight. I have to say, there's something about this story that makes me, in my role as a pastor, a little bit anxious. If we read this story as a direct conversation between humans, Bartimaeus, and God, Jesus, we may be left with the impression that we can expect God to respond immediately to any request that we make by performing a miracle that will make our suffering promptly disappear. This, after all, is what he does for Bartimaeus. But is this true to our experience of our lives? Has God promptly and decisively acted on your behalf every time you have asked? Personally, even though I am up here in the pulpit and I consider myself a person of faith, I don't think that that's how it works. I think this story gives us a false hope that God will play nice and do whatever we ask. If God were that predictable, we would live in a very different world, wouldn't we? We could pray, we could ask, and we could say, "God, would you please just stop the war in Gaza?" I've done that many times from this pulpit. And God would agree and stop it. Would be nice if that was the way it works. I wish it were so. But even though this story makes me nervous, I think there is something very valuable to learn from it. Something that may help us to answer that question that I asked earlier. How might we act if we got the chance to have a conversation with God? As I was driving around and thinking about all this, it occurred to me that We always measure the value of a prayer by whether or not it is answered. But must we do this? What if we just focused on the human side of the conversation or the prayer? That, after all, is the question that we say may be measured by the nature of God's response. That, after all, is the question, what would we say if we had the chance to talk to God? Must the quality of what we say be measured by the nature of God's response? It is actually nearly impossible to measure the quality of a prayer in this way, since God's response, whatever it may be, cannot be anticipated. All we can really do is evaluate what we bring to God. If we think about our interaction with God in this way, about what we bring to God rather than what we get from it, Bartimaeus' story is quite instructive. Bartimaeus shows us that we don't have to be polite to God in order for God to stand still and listen to us. We don't have to be submissive and groveling in order for God to stand still and listen to us. If we are angry, we can be angry. If we are feeling grief, we can weep. When it comes down to it, there is only one thing that we must do when we pray to God. There's only one thing that is of utmost importance, and that is the truth. The truth. We must express what is truly in our hearts. God knows our hearts, so we cannot lie to God. We can easily lie to other people, and we can do a pretty good job of lying to ourselves, but we cannot lie to God. So we shouldn't even try. To lie to God is to turn away from God. So whether we converse with God as Bartimaeus did, or we pray to God as we all do, interactions with God gives us the opportunity to be honest, to be real, to give God the truth, even if it's rude, is to show our faith. In the eighth chapter of the chapter of John, in the eighth chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "The truth will set you free." When we give God our truth, God will give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that we need to live our lives fully. Amen.